Hi everyone, I'm here to talk to you about how Cody used Desktop Bridge to get into the Windows Store. My name is Per Björklund and my Twitter handle is @Paxi. So let's get started. So this is Cody. This is an open source media center that runs on most platforms that you find out there. We handle what you would expect from a media center. We do your local video, streaming video, TV shows, live TV, DVR or PVR, whatever you call it, picture frame, radio, and so on. And we also have quite a rich add-on ecosystem that I'll show off a little bit later. So this is a movie view. You can see the list. We have quite rich info about the movie, so we can get a feel for what it is before we want to actually watch it. Oh, and we do have support for weather. You can write add-ons to provide this interface and show off if you want to use it as a information screen for some sort. Okay, so Desktop Bridge. And to set the tone here for why we were excited to actually use this, I'll start with a bit of history. So the project started on the original Xbox, on the as a XP player, and then it went through quite a few names. So in 2002, it started. The first version, and then it became the Xbox Media Player. And that evolved into Xbox Media Center, still on the Xbox One, or the first Xbox. And then in 2007, when HD movies were becoming more popular, more hardware requirements, work started to try and move off the Xbox and onto other platforms. So work started to run on OS X, Linux, Windows, and in late 2008, that was actually finished, so we released on all those platforms. Since then, we have evolved a bit. We also run on iOS, some version of Apple TV, Android, of course, and the Windows Store. So that's a bit of the history. So the idea that we might be able to go back to the Xbox One one day is quite intriguing. So what did we have to do to actually get into the store? It wasn't that much work, actually. We didn't make use of the app converter that takes your installer and tries to figure out what it needs to do to package it. We used the manual packaging tool and package it ourselves. And we didn't have to do almost no changes in our main code base. We had to change our build system a tiny bit because we were using setDLL directory to load our libraries, and that method is not actually supported. So then we changed our build system a little bit and just put all of our DLLs into the same folder as the main executable, working around the issue that way. And then once we were actually running, we just added a link to our website to point to the store version so people could actually find it. And that's all of the work that was required. And we have full feature parity. We didn't lose anything going into the store. So some of the results, we're one of the most top 10 most popular apps in the store. We have a quite active user base, about 1.6 million active users in the Windows Store version of the app. And we have over 1 billion user minutes in total. So it's the users that use it tend to use it quite a lot. And what we gained, we got easy updates. We didn't have an automatic update system before or outside the store, so we got that for free, which was really nice. We got usage metrics, which is why I can present some metrics to you today, because we don't do any of that tracking ourselves. So we also got that for free, which is nice. And the last one, which I as a developer really like, is the crash reporting. It was an interesting experience seeing the crash statistics for the first version. That's a real nice bonus. So the next step is, of course, trying to go full UVP. So we might return to the Xbox and complete the circle. So this work is ongoing, and we are getting a bit of help from Microsoft with this. But so far, we ported about 25 third-party libraries to run on UVP. That's about, well, we probably use 15, 20 more, but those were already available through VC package, so we didn't have to do any work for those. All of our, most of our add-ons are written in Python, so we had to port Python 2.7 to run in UVP. And currently it works, but it's a bit buggy, and it's early days. We had about roughly 800 instances of Win32 API calls that are removed or no longer supported. So we had to stub those out for now or replace them with the new supported versions. So there's a fair bit of work going on there. We hadn't actually switched over to use the Unicode versions of the APIs. So since all of the old ANSI versions were removed, we had to make the switch finally, just 15 years too late or so. As we want to continue to run as a full Win32 application, we decided to add UVP as another build target. So we have Win32, Windows, Android, many versions of Linux, and so on. We had to update a few of the DirectX usage that we had. I don't actually touch that bit myself, so I don't know much of the details, but we have a team member here at Build that knows a lot more about it. So that's the ongoing work. Okay, so we can get into a bit of customization and what you can do with Kodi. If you don't want to watch movies on it, you can still play around. Demo time. So let's see. And as we're all or Windows developers or users of the Windows platform, I chose to do the first demo in PowerShell. So here we have a small PowerShell script that will call Kodi through JSON or through the REST API that we provide and query it for the movie library. And we pick a few properties that we would like to use. And then we sort the results on play count and pop up a grid view. So let's try running this and see what happens. We have to enter the credentials. And there's our movie library. And we can see, if you look at the play count column, we can see that Big Buck Bunny is fairly popular. That has a lot of views compared to the others. So that's it's easy to get your movie library and work with it in PowerShell if you would like to. But how do we actually control Kodi or start a movie that we may want to see? So let's switch over to the next one. So here we have more JSON and the REST API call. So the first part there adds a movie to the playlist. Movie ID 4 is, if people noticed, it was in the grid view earlier, and it's Big Buck Bunny. And then in the next call, we tell Kodi to play the first playlist item. So we can see here, we have a Kodi instance not doing anything. And let's try running this. Okay. And there we have a movie playing. So if you find yourself without a remote, but you have your laptop, just open PowerShell and you're good to go for all your movie needs. So that's one part of how you can interact with Kodi and control Kodi. But we can also extend Kodi. So, oh yeah. Let's go over here. I'll start with showing you a simple plugin here, so you can get a feel for what it does, and then we can dive into the code and see how easy it is to actually extend them, code it. So this is a sample plugin. It provides a few categories of various movies. So let's pick animals. Can pick the crab here. The Wi-Fi might be a bit slow and buffering, but we can start the movie easily, and that's the main point. So let's switch over to VS Code, and here we have a static list of some sample videos and their images. This should probably use some API of sort to get dynamic data. So let's go to the main method here. Can you see the text or? Yep, good. So Kodi calls Python scripts a bit like a command line application. So the script will be invoked and start running here on the main method. And there we have three cases. We have the list categories, which is the first case we saw. The next one is the list videos, if we go one level deeper. And the final one is the start playback of the video. So let's move up a bit to our list categories, which we can see up here. Now this code isn't all that pretty, but I tried to keep it quite short to fit the screen and make it fairly easy to read. And we can see we iterate over our list of movies, and we create a list item for each one, providing some properties and also an action. So we can see here that this action is listing, which we handle in the main further down. So if we click on one of those, we get called again with the listing and the item, and that will then run the next method we see on the screen. Let's move that. So then we'll end up in list videos, and it's quite similar code. We create a list item, provide some properties of it, and we provide another action here, the play action, which will then, if we click on an item, it will actually play the video. And yeah, starting playback is two lines of Python there. So it's fairly simple to work with. We have a full add-on in about 100 lines of code, including the static data. To provide a full add-on, we also need a let's see here, the add-on XML, which is this is created by a team member, and we can see it provides a bit of metadata that Coda will use to display information about the add-on and know how or where to show it. And we can see now we can use this without any issues in the desktop version. So let's just try to uninstall it, and we'll install the sample version so you can see how easy it is to actually get started. Right. We'll remove that. Okay, so no video add-on there. Let's go to install from a zip file. And I have this prepared. It's just a zip file with the directory we looked at right just now. And there we go. The add-on is installed. We can see it available here again, and we can try playing the crab video again. And there we go. So it's a fairly simple process to start extending Kodi. There's no special tooling needed, just a text editor and something that can create zip files. So that's the demo bits. Okay, and some crafty users have found some really fun use cases for Kodi. The first link here is a guy in the UK who figured out that he can use Kodi to view his office dashboards with his metrics. So he has the Jenkins build, the Jenkins build service to control Kodi, which in turn can control the TV, so he can tell Jenkins to turn off all his office dashboards, and Kodi will turn off the TVs, and everything's fine, and he can push new metrics out to the dashboards through Kodi. I would not have thought of doing that. And then the second link here is another developer who figured out how he can... He wrote a small binary extension to our Python add-ons, which he then uses to call into the CLR and run C-sharp add-ons. I think he was trying to get Cortana to work. Not sure if he succeeded, but it's a pretty cool use case. And also another one I wouldn't have thought of. So where to find us? Kodi.tv is our main website. Has a lot of info, but for developer focus, GitHub, xbmc/xbmc is probably the place to go. And we're also on Twitter. And we're currently three Windows maintainers. We have Anton Fedshin, who is here at Build. He's handling the rendering, video playback, DirectX, and those bits. And we also have Lucas Rechberger, who is our newest member. And he's been working on our build system and getting us to run as an X64 app, which we need. And there's also me. I do a bit of everything. I work on the libraries, the store version, 64-bit, anything that needs doing, really. But mainly the Windows platform. So I hope I piqued your interest. And if you want to contribute or you're curious, please reach out to me. You have my email address there. And if you have any questions, if you have used Kodi before and maybe you have something that's nagging you that you want to fix, reach out to me. I will help you get you started and guide you as much as needed. And hopefully you can someday become a team member. Or maybe you just want to provide one patch and then be on your way. Everyone is welcome, and we want to have you. Okay, that's all I have. Wait. rate the session. Thank you.